KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 9 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies, a little bit of sun trying to peek through. We're finally warming up past 2 degrees. We're actually at 3 now. And we look for it to be mostly cloudy today with a high of 13. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by United Group Insurance with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. Authorities say a Western Iowa man has been cited after fatally shooting a dog that had been playing near his house. Collins Cutler of Marnie was charged with firing a gun inside the city limits. The year-old chocolate Labrador retriever named Wrigley had been traveling from Denver with owner Stacy Ernett. Ernett told officers that Wrigley and another dog were playing in a yard on Monday when Cutler fired a shotgun at Wrigley from about 40 feet away. Cass County Sheriff Darby McLaren said Cutler told a deputy that he'd thought he had the right to shoot Wrigley because the dog had gone onto Cutler's property. Calls to Cutler rang busy or unanswered during several attempts by various reporters on Monday. News time is 9:01.
It's wonderful. So warm and inviting. Your wife is making hot chocolate with extra marshmallows. It's the first night chilly enough to relax and enjoy a crackling fire in your new fireplace. As you sip your cocoa, your wife mentions that strange smell. You assure her it's the applewood kindling, but minutes later you realize along with the smell is the smoke backing up into your living room. Does your insurance policy cover your new fireplace? It happens. This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance. The crackle and fragrance of a wood fire is wonderful. Unless something goes wrong, you don't open the flue, or something clogs a chimney and the heat and smoke can't get out. Does your policy cover a fireplace or wood-burning stove? Maybe it's time for a review. When you give me the opportunity to serve you, you can trust that I'll show you a policy from Allied Insurance that will give you coverage, not just a cheap rate. The Allied policy I'll bring you will help you recover from the financial devastation that can occur when it happens. Call me today, your Allied Insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
The attorneys for two men whose lawsuit against Council Bluffs and two former police officers for wrongful conviction ended in a mistrial are asking permission from the judge to talk to jurors. A mistrial was declared December 14th in the lawsuit against that Terry Harrington and Curtis McGee had filed after jurors failed to reach a unanimous verdict. The men had sought millions of dollars, claiming they deserved payment for spending 25 years in prison for a murder that courts overturned based on misconduct of prosecutors. Well, last week, Harrington and McGee's attorneys asked Judge Robert Pratt to set aside rules prohibiting jury contact. The attorneys say it would be irresponsible to embark on a new trial without learning more about jurors' impressions and deliberations. The attorneys for both the city and the police officers say they don't have any problem with that. Elsewhere in news from across the state today, Iowa Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds is often in the spotlight on issues ranging from trade initiatives to political campaigning, but she's also pursuing a more private agenda as a college student. Reynolds is taking night courses toward a bachelor's degree in public administration at Upper Iowa University in West Des Moines. It's a long-delayed return to school for Reynolds, who set her own education aside after 2 years at Northwest Missouri State University to get married and raise three daughters. Some expect Reynolds to someday seek the Republican nomination for governor, but she says her return to college isn't an effort to build her on her resume before such an effort. Reynolds says that her college degree is a goal that she set for herself, a priority. Well, as 2012 exits and makes way for 2013, we look back at some of the top Iowa news stories from the past year. We learned in November that a soldier from Shenandoah had been killed while serving in Afghanistan. Family members were informed that 19-year-old Brandon Buttry was killed in action. Brandon's uncle Steve said U.S. Army officials informed Brandon's parents, Don and Pam Buttry, about his death at their home in Shenandoah.
He was manning a watchtower in Afghanistan, and that there were other casualties, but we don't have any other details. We knew Brandon was in Afghanistan, but he was not allowed to say where, so we don't know yet even where this happened.
Brandon had enlisted in the Army in January after his 19th birthday. In addition to his parents, he is survived by 8 sisters and 5 brothers, most still living at their rural home south of Shenandoah. Now, hot, dry weather, of course, lasted much of the spring, summer, and well into the fall, and weather records for unseasonable warmth were set this year, even in December. Iowa crops struggled during the scalding summer, livestock as well. Tanner Rao, who farms near Dallas Center, kept his cattle under a close eye and under a sprinkler this year.
Right now it's about 98 degrees and very little wind. On a day like this, their body temperature can be 20 degrees warmer than the outside temperature, and that's pretty tough on a 1,300-pound animal.
Fast-spreading wildfires became a problem in 2012 as everything that was green wilted and became kindling. Bans on open burning were enacted as State Fire Marshal Ray Reynolds released in midsummer. He called the conditions dire.
Our concerns clearly are the stability of our crops. They're turning brown. The vegetation is turning brown. And we're seeing a high risk of fires spreading considerable distance as a result of sometimes careless and reckless actions.
Some Iowa communities even banned all fireworks over the 4th of July this year, fearing that a stray spark would set off a wildfire. Well, on Friday, the 13th of July, two young cousins went for a midday bike ride in the Waterloo suburb of Evansdale, and they would never be seen again alive. Rick Abbin, a chief deputy with the Blackhawk County Sheriff's Office, said the girls' bikes were found near Myers Lake, which was searched by divers.
With the lake being checked and nothing found, law enforcement is not ruling out anything, but there is nothing to indicate any type of foul play at this time, so all options are under consideration.
The bodies of 10-year-old Lyric Cook Morrissey and 8-year-old Elizabeth Collins were found by hunters 5 months later in a park 25 miles from where they disappeared. At a memorial service held in Cedar Falls, 1,500 people gathered to say goodbye. Elizabeth's mother, Heather Collins, said she was very moved.
I know she was there the whole entire time, and I just got this, warm feeling over me through the whole entire service, and she was there. She still is here.
The Collins later met with Governor Branstad to talk about the death penalty, which was abolished in Iowa in 1965. House fires claimed many lives in Iowa this past year, but the worst was in November when a young mother, her baby, and two young siblings all died in a fire at Lake City. The town's fire chief, Mel Alcox, traced the cause to a lamp cord.
That got caught into the mechanism of the hide-a-bed sofa, apparently, and there's metal bars and stuff, and they come together and pinch the wire, and that seemingly shorted out that part of the wire right there, and that caused it to heat up, and it got the fire started there, and then it just progressed from there.
Tyra Pearson was 22. Her son was 11 months, while her brother and sister were 3 and 8 years. There were no signs the home had any smoke detectors, and those are some of the top stories covered by Radio Iowa through its affiliates in 2012. A February trial has been scheduled for two Cedar Rapids men accused of attempted murder and a drug-related shooting. The Iowa City Press Citizen reports that 20-year-old Peter Thulin and 19-year-old Andrew Meyer have pleaded not guilty to several charges stemming from the shooting on November 18th. Police say Thulin and Meyer went to an Iowa City man's home to collect a drug debt that Thulin shot the man, and that they were, if convicted of all the charges, that is, the men could face up to 50 years or more in prison. Authorities say that a 42-year-old man has been injured while driving a snowmobile through a farm field in eastern Iowa. The Linn County Sheriff's Office said Sean Van Diver of Coggin lost control of the snowmobile at around 5 p.m. Monday on the south side of Central City. Van Diver was taken to St. Luke's Hospital in Cedar Rapids and then transferred to the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City. That snowmobile accident is under investigation. Two women in eastern Iowa were hospitalized after a crash involving a slippery patch of road. Linn County authorities say the accident happened just before noon Monday. Investigators say 82-year-old Patricia Derringer of Cedar Rapids lost control of her Buick while driving on the county road, spun across the center line, and struck a Cadillac driven by 57-year-old Douglas Chester of Strawberry Point. Investigators say Derringer and 77-year-old Barbara Chester of Cedar Rapids were taken to a Cedar Rapids hospital with what appear to be non-life-threatening injuries. Chester was the passenger in the Cadillac. The Linn County Sheriff's Office is investigating that accident. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, police officers and other communities are on duty today in Newtown, Connecticut, so that Newtown officers can have Christmas Day off. One police detective from Greenwich, Connecticut, who's working a half-day shift in Newton, says it's a nice thing that they can use us this way. 11 days after the shootings that left 20 children dead and 6 adults at an elementary school, Newtown continues to receive displays of support and sympathy from around the country. Oklahoma authorities say bridges, overpasses, and highways in several counties are slick and very hazardous today. Much of Oklahoma and Arkansas are under winter storm warnings for rain and sleet that will eventually turn to snow. Areas of East Texas and Louisiana are bracing for thunderstorms. Hail this morning in western Louisiana is expected to be just the start of a severe weather threat for the entire Gulf Coast. There's more information about the Afghan policewoman who shot and killed an American contractor yesterday in the first known insider attack carried out by a woman. An Afghan official said the policeman, a policewoman that is an Iranian who came to Afghanistan 10 years ago with her husband and obtained a fake ID through him. The official said she had displayed unstable behavior, but that the investigation revealed no militant links so far. And Israel has moved a step closer to building nearly 1,000 more homes for Jewish settlers in East Jerusalem, part of the area that the Palestinians claim is the capital of a future state. A government planning committee has moved the project to the advanced stage of asking contractors to submit bids. The homes are among more than 5,000 new settler homes in East Jerusalem that Israel is planning. News time is 9:11.
It's wonderful. So warm and inviting. Your wife is making hot chocolate with extra marshmallows. It's the first night chilly enough to relax and enjoy a crackling fire in your new fireplace. As you sip your cocoa, your wife mentions that strange smell. You assure her it's the applewood kindling, but minutes later you realize along with the smell is the smoke backing up into your living room. Does your insurance policy cover your new fireplace? It happens. This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance. The crackle and fragrance of a wood fire is wonderful. Unless something goes wrong, you don't open the flue, or something clogs a chimney and the heat and smoke can't get out. Does your policy cover a fireplace or wood-burning stove? Maybe it's time for a review. When you give me the opportunity to serve you, you can trust that I'll show you a policy from Allied Insurance that will give you coverage, not just a cheap rate. The Allied policy I'll bring you will help you recover from the financial devastation that can occur when it happens. Call me today, your Allied Insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
In the funeral announcements, Carol Anderson, age 78, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Funeral services for Carol Anderson will be held on Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary Conklin, age 86, formerly of Audubon, died September 30th in Nebraska. Funeral services for Mary Conklin will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Joanne Schweery, age 73, of Panama, died Saturday in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial service for Joanne Schweery will be held Thursday at 10 o'clock at St. Mary of the Assumption Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Robert Cruz, age 90, of Manning, died December 20th at the Manning Plaza. Funeral services for Robert Cruz will be held on Thursday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Tammy Amos, age 54, of Griswold, died December 20th at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Tammy Amos will be on Thursday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Jean Cambridge, age 74, of Atlantic, died December 20th at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Jean Cambridge will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Judith Altfelish Kim, age 71, formerly of Atlantic, died December 19th in Arizona. Funeral services for Judith Altfelish Kim will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Linda Lou Sanders Fudge, age 61, of Atlantic, died December 16th. Memorial services for Linda Fudge will be this Friday at 11 a.m. at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Rowena Ratzliff, age 79, of Atlantic, died Sunday at CCMH. Funeral services for Rowena Ratzliff will be on Friday at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Helen Gray, age 72, of Atlantic, died Sunday at CCMH. Services for Helen Gray will be on Friday at 2:30 at the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Gene Casey, age 64, of Griswold, died Monday at his home. Memorial services for Gene Casey are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Helen Pig, age 90, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Monday at the Heritage House. Services for Helen Pig are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Catherine Johnson, age 72, of Fontenelle, died December 19th in Des Moines. Memorial services for Catherine Johnson will be held at a later date. The Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle is in charge of the arrangements. Our news brought to you by United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.